today. Let us be transformed by the word that we share in today. Move me, my intellect, my ideas out of the way. And just, would you speak the word of Calvary to us this morning in Jesus' name? Amen and amen. God bless you today as you're seated again. I want to say if you're visiting with us for the very first time today, we are so glad that you are here. And we want to connect with you after service and just let you know how glad we are. Maybe get a little info from you, and we just love to see you again as often as we can. Amen. I talked last week about the hope of the calling of Jesus in the life of the believer. You were saved if you are saved by Jesus Christ. You were saved for a reason. Amen. And there is a destination that we are, that we have before us. And there is a purpose for the life that we are living right now in this life. I believe that God has a plan for your life. I believe that. But today I want to talk to you about those who have been called, those who have answered the call to salvation, have come and made Jesus the Lord of their life. I want to talk about the transformation that takes place in the life of that person. I can say today, by the grace of God, that I'm not who I used to be. Amen. But I can also say that by the grace of God, I'm not who I am going to be in Jesus Christ. Amen. But I want to, you know, a text like this, it brings us back to a place of humility. It brings us back to a place where we can make a difference in somebody's life if we would just remember the truth that is contained in these verses. He starts by saying, "And you." So everybody point to your neighbor and say, "You." You, when you came to receive Jesus, each of us, when we came to know Him as our Savior, we each carried a baggage of sin with us, and we each carried a guilt and a stain on our lives that we could not wash and could not alter away. And it took Jesus to come and not just cleanse us, but to raise us up to new life, because as the text clearly says, we were dead in sin. The world has, especially our nation over the decades, has made a soft thing of sin, and they've softened the edges on it, and they've made it more socially acceptable. And so now if you talk about sin, some people won't even know what you're talking about. And some people will think that you're just being judgmental the minute the word leaves your mouth. But what we have to come to grips with, according to the gospel, everyone that we come across and each of us at one time or another in our lives was stained and guilty with sin. So my first idea this morning is this: the saints weren't always saints. The old timers had a saying, and that was, when you see a turtle on a fence post, it didn't get there by itself. Am I right? Right. When you see someone who's living a life patterned after God's word, and you see somebody with joy in their heart, and you see somebody with kindness and a smile, and you see somebody who can love people in a divided world, you see someone who has been influenced and affected by the Holy Spirit and the word of God. The saints weren't always saints. I didn't know most of you before you gave your hearts to Jesus. And you didn't know me before I gave my heart to Jesus. But can I tell you this? It's like I said before. We are not what we used to be. And it pays to remember that sometimes. Because one thing that happens in a Christian life is sometimes we can get to the place where we have, you know, we've served the Lord for a while, our life has been transformed, it's been altered, and we can look at those who have not yet been transformed and forget that we were there too one time. It's easy to do because it's human nature. Even after we've been saved, we tend, if we're not careful, if we don't stay at the foot of Calvary, if we don't stay humble before Jesus, we can get to the place where we somehow feel like some of this is because of us. But it's not. By grace are you saved, through faith, that not of works, lest any man should boast. But I'm thankful today. I want to talk to you. That's the point of intro on this idea is we don't need to forget where we came from, but we can worship God for where we were and who we are today. How many can say, my life has been changed and transformed by Jesus and who I am, I never could have been if it wasn't for Him. I'm thankful today that the love of God has come and filled our hearts, and the love of God animates what we do, and we're changing and growing and becoming more and more like Christ because He came with His blood and purchased our salvation, and He comes by His Spirit and raises us up to new life and disciples us. I'm thankful that the Christian experience as taught in these scriptures is not a guess-so religion. I came to Jesus, so I guess I'm saved. No, I guess I'm going to heaven. I guess I'm a Christian now. No, by the Spirit of God and by the love that He fills us with, we can know, and by the assurance of the Word, we can know that we have been changed. 1 Corinthians says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm thankful that Jesus transforms lives today. I'm thankful that I can come to Him and I don't have to qualify any certain way besides just coming and believing in Him. I don't have to be of any kind of socioeconomic status. I don't have to have enough dollars. I don't have to be a part of this club. I come to Him, I put my faith in His Word, I cooperate with His Spirit, and He will make me what I could not be. Now, that transformation is not a one-time thing. It's not a start and stop type thing. I'm telling you this, I'm gonna keep coming back to Jesus as I am right now. And He's going to continue transforming me. Did you notice that the transformation of the called is loading? Bill Gaither sang a song and said, He's still working on me. I'm not there yet. And you're not there yet. But we're serving a God who is transforming us into the image of His Son. But I want to talk again a little bit about the purpose that we are saved for, because what Paul is telling this church at Ephesus, you remember Paul spent 2 years in the lecture hall of Tyrannus there in the city of Ephesus, and he was talking with people and discussing it, and the scripture says so much that the word of God began to fill up that land, and there were people everywhere all over Asia Minor that began to hear about Jesus because they came to Ephesus to talk with Paul. Amen. But Paul left and never was able to be in service with them again there at Ephesus. But he wrote this letter while he was under house arrest. And he wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus so that they could be strengthened and reminded and be unified, amen, in their salvation. But he said, look at what he said in verse 10. He said, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. One of my favorite things to do when we're doing repairs around here or improvements or in past times when we've done building projects and churches and stuff, I like to watch somebody who knows what they're doing build what they know they're doing. If it's a carpenter, I like to see them piece it together. I like to watch Brother Joe run wire. It reminds me of how much I don't know. When skilled hands perform what they're skilled to do. And when it's right and it works after that and there's no problems. Look, when we put these new lights in the hallways out here, I want you to just imagine again this sanctuary being remodeled, okay? Can you do it? All right. When we put these lights in the hallway out here, Brother Joe and he had a crew. And they had hard hats with lights on them, and they were walking around these dark hallways, and they were talking about relays and talking about points in the hall. And I'm like, I am totally lost. But I had full confidence that when he told me to flip that switch, that the lights were going to come on. Because he's good at what he does. Right? Okay? And Brother Daryl, when he installs security systems and camera systems in a place, those people are going to be happy because he takes pride in what he does, and it's good. If they sent me as a technician, it would be a horrible story ending. But now, to be fair to me, if some of y'all got up and tried to preach like this, it would be a horrible story ending. But I have my mind on the trades, and think about the arts, the pottery and painting and masters who do those things. The scripture says that we are Christ's workmanship. He has his hands on us. And his heart is turned toward us. And there's something he has in mind. Nothing that God does is wasted. Nothing that he does is random. But when he puts his hand on a person's life, it says that he creates us unto good works. Now, he's very careful there to say we're not saved by good works. You could never do enough good things to come and inherit your salvation from Jesus and work it off. But once he saves you, he begins to shape your life into somebody who was meant to do good and meant to be holy and meant to make a difference. Amen. And the part of the transformation that we are that we are called to, and part of the life that we are called to, is that we would allow God to enable us to yield our members to those good works that we're called to. I believe that Christians still should aspire to holy living. And I believe that Christianity and the message of Jesus and the Spirit of God ought to affect the way that I live my life. And there's a lot of places that will not encourage people to step into a deeper Christian life or a Christian life of holiness this morning, because and I'm not going to get into all the reasons why, but I'm thankful today that I have come to the Word and I have found that there is hope, that I can be holy before God because He's going to transform me and I'm going to be His work of art. He told Jeremiah, he said, come down to the potter's house and behold the work that I do. And he said there was a lump of clay on the wheel and there was a potter working with it. Have you ever, when I was a kid, we went to Marshall, Texas. And anybody ever done that? Went out and watched the potters at work, all right? I don't know if they still do that, but it would be, it's worth your while if you want to go look at it. It's fun. When they find a lump of clay, or they find something in the clay that's undesirable, they may be partway through that work, they may be whatever, they'll stop and smash it and get the lump out and start over if the lump's big enough. Other times they just bring their, bring just the right amount of pressure in and out, and by the time they're done, they make something beautiful that you would want to have. I want to tell you this morning that somebody in here this morning, you're struggling against habitual sin. There's some character flaw that is coming into your relationships that's threatening your marriage. There is some hang up and some thing in your life that you're asking God, am I ever going to be able to get past this morning? I'm going to say this to you: stick with the potter and he's going to beautify your life. And he may put you under pressure, and he may put you under strain, and there may be things that you don't understand, but if you'll stay faithful to him in the midst of everything that you're facing, there's going to come a day where you're going to say, I see why Jesus had me there. I see why the wheel was spinning so fast. I see why the pressure was on that place in my life. I see what he was doing. You can't see it today, but there's coming a day of victory if you'll stay faithful to Jesus and do what you know you're called to do. The hope of his calling is that we'll fulfill his purpose and in the unified body of this church. Can I tell you today that God may use people in this building to help shape you? Now, let me clarify what I don't mean. I'm not giving anybody a license to walk across the sanctuary and correct somebody. I told you the story in our church in Karnak. There was a young man who got saved, and before he got saved, he came to church drunk quite often. And he came in, it was like -3 degrees there that Sunday. We had a few of those in Karnak. I know we had it here now too. So everywhere I've been, there's been -degrees. But he had a sock cap on. And he sat down on this pew. And there was an elder sister from across, 91 years old. She had church the same way her whole life. But she came across the sanctuary and she, across the the aisle and she said, "Get that hat off your head." It took me 2 hours to talk him into coming back. But, so that's not what I mean by God using the saints to shape you. Look, saints, if you want to correct somebody, just keep that to yourself and have that conversation with God. God, I don't like that they're doing this. And he'll help you work on yourself a little bit probably too. Woo, we're having fun. I enjoy getting after service and talking with different ones of you. I enjoy the times that we get to spend together at dinners, the work that we do here, the outreach that we're putting together. We're going to be rubbing shoulders and working together on things. Can I tell you that there are aspects of your character that somebody else here needs to see? They need to see your Christian example. There are people here who are growing in Christ, and they need to see what a godly person does when this pressure comes or when this stimulus comes. Whatever happens, they need to see the beauty of Christ on display in somebody's life, and there's no better place to do that than in the church. That's why I'm insistent. Yes, we do online services, but I really push people to come to church because you need the people who are sitting around you. God's idea for you is to be transformed into what he wants you to be. And he may use friendships and he may use fellowship around you. Listen, I'm thankful. There are people here today who have made a resolution that for so many weeks they're going to be in service morning and night. And they're following through with that, okay? You say, why do they need a resolution to do that? Because it's hard to get in the habit sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, when you begin to pursue God like that, he's going to get in the midst of that resolve, and he's going to do things you would never expect him to do, you'd never expect to see, when you allow yourself to be on the potter's wheel and be transformed. Once in a while, well, the scripture says, also in 1 Corinthians, that we behold Christ as in a glass darkly, but when we get to heaven, we're going to see him face to face. But we're transformed by his spirit and by his word from glory to glory. I want to tell you that I was created for good works. You were created for good works. You were created for the world to see a difference in your Christian life. There's times that we come, that I come to pray. There's times that I come to Jesus and he points out things about my life that I don't like for him to point. But I have found that when I will work with a softened heart before him, when I will allow him to put his hand on that place in my life that's uncomfortable, when I'll give him full access, he's able to do his work in my life in a way that it doesn't take the hardships and it doesn't take the hard. Listen, Jesus has had to teach me some stuff the hard way. I've had to go back and apologize to people for things that Jesus said, nope, you shouldn't have done that. If I had just listened the first time, there would never have needed to be an apology. I'm preaching to somebody. But let me talk again about the transformation of the called. I said that when we see Jesus right now as it is through a glass darkly, but then when we get to heaven, we're going to see him face to face. Now we know in part, but then we'll know him in fullness. Amen. But look at what it says in our text today. It says in verse 7 that in the ages to come, let me turn to your neighbor and say, God's got your future. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Can I tell you today that part of the purpose of the church that we are in, part of the purpose for what we are doing here, part of what God wants to do in your life is that in the future, Jesus Christ is going to show off and show out what he has done for all eternity. Amen. Right now, there is a battle on for your soul. Satan would love for you to be a self-serving individual who goes and sins and lives only for you. And he would love for you to have the eternal inheritance of hell that comes with that. But can I tell you that heaven, that God comes and he is on your side. And if you will submit to that transformation process today, in the times to come, he is going to make an open display of how ignorant and stupid Satan is. Because he's going to have a church assembled, a church of people that were imperfect and that were bound by sin. I can't wait to get to heaven and see all the prostitutes that Jesus saved and transformed. I can't wait to get to heaven and see all the crackheads that Jesus saved and transformed. Listen, I'm talking pretty blunt this morning, but I'm going to tell you today. I can't wait to see Peter who couldn't say a good word for Christ, but when he got the transformation power of Jesus in his life, he preached and 3,000 were saved. I can't wait to see Paul who went from persecuting Christians to being a Christian and creating disciples for Jesus Christ. I can't wait to get to heaven and so that Jesus Christ can say, there's Lonnie Adams, and he had no capability of living for me, and he was in pretty awful condition, but I took him and I transformed him and I made him what he wanted to be, what I wanted him to be, and now he's got a purpose in my kingdom for eternity. And God wants the same thing for you this morning. We're gonna see when eternity comes. I believe that God is so infinite and awesome that when we get there, we're gonna continue to learn of the wonders of his grace. We know from his word everything that we need to know to come to Christ and get saved. But I believe he's gonna be teaching us for all eternity how enormous and wonderful his plan was. There's things we never could have guessed that he did, huh? Or ways that he worked to transform us. God's working, Sister Lauren, Sister Melissa, come. God's working in your life right now in ways that you don't see. Sometimes he uses grief. Sometimes he uses pressure from the secular work environment. Sometimes he uses family problems. But when we stay submitted to him, all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's stand this morning. We do this every Sunday at First Assembly here. We pray here at the front as a family around these altars. I believe life transformation happens here. But if everyone would just quickly for a few minutes, just close your eyes and bow your head for just a minute. Somebody here this morning, you say, I need God's transforming work in my life in a real way today. And I need him to give me hope in that transformation. Would you just lift your hand and put it right back down? That's good. That's good. That's good. God wants to help you today. Amen. All right. I'm thankful that I serve. You can look around. I'm thankful that I serve a Savior who loves me, who so loved me that he gave his son for me. Amen. Because he believes in what he can do through me to make me holy, to make me righteous before him. Amen. So what I want us to do right now is if we could, let's come and pray and say, Lord, continue working in me. Transform me. Keep me tender before you. Keep my heart soft. Keep me holy.